Welcome to the Dr. Obed Obinade podcast. Dr. Obed is a thought leader and apologist who speaks to life's great existential questions of origin, purpose, faith, and destiny with fluency and grace. He is an author and the president of the Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated, a vibrant apostolic commission that heralds the message of the fullness of Christ. Dr. Obed has seen his ministry soar to great heights over several years, touching the lives of many across the globe through his various ministry platforms. May you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as you listen to mind-renewing and heart-enlightening messages by Dr. Obed. Do enjoy this teaching. God bless you.
Sini kradojas, kena maragas, stafa fafa kasadi bagazai, krande shete, krades ovrades, ula maraga da jadiga baradas, kapapa parales, frakesuna maragazai, yatan tatashes, rous mele frageza bragajuzes, inovahandes avahaya,
sekina kradojas. Father, we honor you.
Thank you.
Father, we enthrone you.
Yes.
We ask that you make the times we share a blessing to them that are near, to them that are far, those in their offices, those in their homes, families that are gathered together.
Yes.
We pray in the name of Jesus. Bless us, O God.
Amen.
Let the word of life impart life to our spirits.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes.
Dweller between the cherubs, you are highly enthroned.
Yes.
We give you praise.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's been such strength of God carrying us through.
I was just going to comment on the look on your face.
Yes,
Papa. I mean, it's
the Lord is my strength,
as always.
Amen.
And your energizer battery within. Thank God that it's energizer and it's not Tiger Head or someone.
I will recover. Definitely. I just need to. It was just yesterday. I was in conversation with one of my daughters and mother together, and I don't want to mention her name. She's a mighty woman of God, a bishop,
okay,
actually, and let me say an archbishop, actually.
Okay.
And she was watching, and when she saw my tiredness and how I was looking, she said, you know what, you have to keep going on. Don't pause, but take intermittent rest.
Rest. I think that advice usually comes from old people. I
mean,
they always say, you know, but when the senior prophet of blessed memory, Prophet TB Joshua, passed on, my mom actually said something. She, of course, has an idea of how
his the ministry was like.
Here runs and all of that. She said, Fifi, tell your pastor, he has to be rested. Tell your pastor, he has to be rested. Oh.
Yes.
This thing, rest. I said, don't worry, he will rest.
The Bible actually said, Jesus said, come here apart and rest. So there are times we have to, we don't separate ourselves to pray. We separate ourselves to sleep. Okay. Come here apart.
Okay.
And rest. So that is also a spiritual principle. But we do not rest at the expense of duty.
Of duty.
We rest when we have to. And there is one thing she said that I loved so much. She said, in the midst of your schedule, take an hour or two and sleep it off. And then keep going. You see? And that I believe is, I took that wisdom with what she told me. And I have quite some number of days before I travel to the U.S. Quite some number of days.
Quite some number.
Today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday.
Friday
is just 2 days. You have 2 days.
She didn't say I should take a
week
to
rest. Quite some number.
Quite some number of days. Yes, so we should get going.
But it's just, I remember after the program on Monday when we were talking, I was mentioning the fact that, I mean, for me, the touching experience on the last day of the apostolic mission was how the service turned out. I mean, we had plans.
Yes.
Knew when the meeting was scheduled to end and everything. But here's the case. You come there and we have over 200 people who have come seeking healing, seeking to be ministered to. And the fact that you were on your feet, attended to every single person.
Yes.
There were men of God there who also came because they wanted to be imparted.
Yes.
The man of God, after everything, you still stayed behind, kept to the promise of releasing the special padlock direction and imparted every single man of God who came forward to be imparted.
Exactly.
And people left. You know, people left at various portions after the impartation. Papa, you still sat back. Met with people.
Yes, when I left the premises.
It was after 11 a.m. It was after 11 a.m.
Yes.
And Papa, God bless you.
Amen.
Like the bishop said, keep resting and keep going out for us. And it's just interesting what has been happening.
Yes.
And I want to read a testimony that connects to both the impartation from the men of God and the healing. Because Papa, you did an impartation with mantles.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember. Sometimes when you profess, I don't remember.
This was not a prophecy.
So I'm sure you remember this one. So this is a message that came in from Apostle Richard Piazza.
Good.
He says, Daddy Shalom.
Yes.
God bless you for the good work you are doing.
Amen.
During the apostolic mission to Accra, you imparted us and you gave us mantles. Today, a lady complained to me of an arthritis condition.
Wow.
She was finding it difficult to walk. I took the handkerchief mantle, placed it on the leg, and I said, that may the God of Pastor Obed heal you.
Amen.
And instantly,
glory,
she was whole.
Amen.
And was able to walk without pains.
Glory to God.
God bless you, Pastor Obed.
Amen.
He says, keep on doing the work of God. It's like what you've been hearing from Sunday is to keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing. And Papa, I remember how that you were specific with what the mantle was going to accomplish
in the lives and ministries of
men of God. And we are already seeing the first fruit. I'm sure there are numerous people who have had testimonies. It always happens when there's a token release, when there's a definite instruction from your mouth as God has led you to. And we would want to extend that invitation to all of you who were imparted in one way or the other. You were ministered to. You have testimonies. Because of the time, we couldn't, Papa, interestingly, we couldn't even take the testimonies.
We couldn't take testimonies
in the meeting live.
One, because the testimonies were lots.
Too many,
we're going to show them on Cosmopolitan TV,
of course. Definitely.
There were two mad miracles, two mad works of power.
Accra indeed experienced the
glory,
move of God.
Touch of God.
So if you have a testimony,
yes,
we always have numbers rolling on our screens. We have our Facebook page. We have the YouTube page, the Man of God's personal handles, at the Pastor Obed on all social media networks. You want to send a direct message. You want to send messages, WhatsApp messages with the numbers that are always displayed on your screen. You receive the healing. Remember that they overcame them by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You don't want to sit on that testimony. You want to make sure that if you receive the testimony, which I know you did, in whatever form it is, you send that message to us. Let us know what exactly God did for you. We are going to be reading them. We are going to be letting them scroll on our crawlers on Cosmopolitan TV. We want someone to read that testimony, to hear that testimony, and know that God can do it for him or her also. You're a man of God. The mantle is already doing wonders in your life. You want to reach out to us and let us know what you received by way of impartation and how your life has changed.
Glory to God.
Papa, I was just, where we started the transmission, someone just said, Shalom, Daddy, please come back to Accra. And then, of course, I'm sure other cities are also wondering when you're going to
be
there.
I just on Saturday, I was talking to one mighty man of God in Takoradi.
Okay.
And he just told me that, hey, I should come to Takrady.
Wow.
it's like a Macedonian
call. Yes, Papa.
And I would want to take this opportunity to extend love and greetings to Reverend Bob Blay in Takrady. Okay. God bless you mightily for turning up for the meeting and showing such love and humility towards the grace of God and towards the ministry of the man of God, Pastor Obed. It's been such an awesome relationship knowing you and relating with you. I count it a blessing, and I believe that you may be watching or somebody connected with you is watching. Please extend love and greetings. I mean hearty love to Reverend Bob Blay. Nyamin Shaw Papa. Amen. I count it such a beautiful gift from God to know you and to be related with you. We were talking over the weekend, and he was talking about the impact of the meetings and how he knows something definite has been deposited in his spirit. I may probably, with his permission, take time off and play something that he sent in his own voice, but that probably may be on reactions when we begin to look at the impacts of the program in Accra.
Yes.
And it's been, we are just reliving the experience, the nostalgia of the whole moment keeps playing back. And God be praised, you know,
God be praised
for all that we experienced. I think that this may not be the better platform to go into the details
of the things that happened.
Things that happened in the meeting.
We'll need about 9 different transmissions
to do that,
to do all of that.
To
but
look at it at its multifaceted.
Yes, but anyone who was there,
yes,
I mean, you know,
yes,
this was just something else.
Yes,
it was something else.
Yes, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Yeah. We sure will come back to your city next time, or your country next time. Just be expectant, and then make sure that it's a concentrated city.
Yes,
we don't want a city where when we come, you together with us can be arrested.
Can be arrested. We want a multitude.
Yes.
Interesting.
Your host together with you can be arrested by the police. No, it's not because we are doing something kinky, but we do not want a place that when we come, all protocols will not respond to us.
Yes.
By the avenue of the grace of God.
So America is going to experience you.
It's going to be awesome. Hey, I'm just on fire. We're on fire beyond what we even saw in Accra.
Wow.
I'm telling you. May many Americans sing Accra.
Hey, Apostle.
You know,
the Accra people will fight with you.
Oh, no, they shouldn't. The reason is because I'm going to step into shoes that have been tested. You see, it's a walk into an altar that has been proven. And as sincere as I must be, I am humbled and I am also intimidated at the same time.
Yeah, it's good you said it yourself. I was going to chuck you to everybody that I remember when last week I was asking you about, I was like, I was going to call WV Grant. That pressure knew so.
Pressure.
And then you confessed. You told me, in as much as you are very much humbled and everything.
As a Ghana Nebraska.
As a.
Well, yeah,
there will be. You mentioned how that there's a certain form of intimidation.
Yes.
And I was like,
I'm not intimidated by his person. I'm intimidated by the proof of the length of the work. It's intimidating. And this is mantle that has been passed on. Mantles from
generations.
Yes. W.V. Grant actually in the area of the prophetic and ministration picked the mantle from Braham.
Wow.
You see, it's a direct transmission from Braham. Probably at another time would play his own confessions, as in how he stepped into the prophetic. And you know who Braham is and what he's done with that gift over the years. And W.V. Grant is from a genealogy of great men and women of God. And actually, Pastor W.V. Grant's father, as we speak, till date, even when he's dead and gone, is in the Guinness Book of Record of having written over 600 books in his lifetime. Wow. There is no man on earth that did that.
Wow.
So this is the corridor I'm entering, and I cannot just walk in there like it's casual in his business, like every day. No. I am inspired by God, inspired by the Spirit of God, to be a blessing. And I know that there is what he has seen and there is what he has experienced, for which reason he wants me to come at this cardinal time of his life. You know, W.B. Grant is having his 40 years of ministry and over 40 years of ministry celebration. And I'm ministering for 7 days in this
celebration period.
And it's humbling. I don't know how anybody would take it if
after just meeting you once.
Ministries, no, you know, in the spirit, we have known each other.
Yes,
but it has to be a divine arrangement of God. And proving ministry, he said, Paul told Timothy, proof, make proof of your ministry. So when you are walking into a certain corridor, it's not just preaching. You are walking into a corridor where the ministry has been proven. And you just don't go into sad places. By the time you walk out, you are not just going to be of a blessing. I'm actually believing God for new heights and new realms and greater depths than I have ever experienced.
Even for yourself. So you are going to minister,
that
but you
what,
are
also... So for me, it's
a two-way affair. Yes.
Of what exactly is going to happen. Because just stepping behind the pulpit alone is impartation. You see? And so if I say I meant it, I've not only meant it that I'm going to preach. I meant it that I must carry something from that dimension. You see, standing in those shoes for 7 days. No, I must come back a new person.
I mean, even after the first encounter,
yes,
you yourself spoke about the impact it has had.
Never in my life anybody impacted me like that.
I remember so well when...
Never.
Even in America, after it came out and I was talking to you, you mentioned how that in your whole life, nobody has ever prophesied to you and ministered to you like W.V. Grant has.
Yes. And he carried me into the heaven of heavens. And I saw the lineup of mantles that by him came to me. It was Kai. It was, hey, no, never. So... I know what I experienced under that unction. And now to go and stand on that altar.
To minister for seven days.
It's no joke. And I would want to say to everybody who is watching, make sure you are a part of the experience of what's going to happen in the coming days. It's going to be explosive. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. At the Eagle's Nest Cathedral. In Texas, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be explosive. My God, I can't wait to see it for myself. And I remember when I went to South Africa to preach for Mother Annalise, and the impact of the Spirit and the strength and the force that I experienced in preaching and standing on that altar. And I'm much more expectant coming to this time of my life also. And standing on such great shoulders, something definitely must happen, not only to the people I'm ministering to, but to myself, to the ministry CCI. Hey, something must happen. Something's going to happen. Something powerful is surely going to happen. Yes.
Papa, I can't wait. I know viewers out there, you can't wait. Make sure you stay connected to Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated social media handles. We are going to be transmitting the meetings live. If you witness the first tour, the Unleashing the Glory tour, the 60-day tour was transmitted live. We have it on Cosmopolitan TV. We even still have some of the videos rolling out. If you want to be part of the live experience, and I know you want to, make sure you stay connected. At the Pastor Obed is the handle on all social media platforms. So on Twitter, on Instagram, you want to search for @ThePastorObed. Like the page, because we are going to be giving continuous updates concerning the times of transmission, the various locations. Papa is going to be going to a number of places in America. It's also for an extended period.
Let me just give the itinerary of how it's going to be.
Okay, Papa.
Just in a moment.
So you want to make sure you are connected to our social media handles. You want to make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated. You want to make sure you've clicked on the notification bell. You want to like our Facebook page. You want to like our handle on Twitter. You want to make sure that everywhere possible, you are connected to CCI. You are connected to the man of God, Pastor Obed, so that you do not miss out on anything that happens as he's embarking on this trip to the US of A. Papa is going to give us his itinerary so that we can know what exactly is happening. So I read some messages. Joanna Apia, she says, Jesus, can't wait to share in the experience. Something will definitely happen.
Something fiery.
Something fiery will happen. So Joanna, in fact, she even put fire emoji. So you were picking what she was talking about. I have a couple of shalons from people on the YouTube page. Glory be to God. Daniel Payne, Elder Payne Emisa says, glory be to God. Ikea Ted, I'm sure this is Sophia. She says, Joanna, indeed. Papa, I mean, we witnessed the Unleashing the Glory tour in America. Mm. And even more directly now, we witnessed the Accra Apostolic Missions. And to hear you say that what's going to happen in America, it's making us all wish that we were going to be there. But thank God there's no distance in the spirit.
No distance in
the spirit.
Thank
God there's going to be transmissions. Thank God that you can be connected everywhere you are. I want to re-emphasize this. Please, 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 and please again, just cross-check if you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Facebook, whether you have subscribed to the channel or whether you've liked the page. If you've not, you want to do so now. You want to click on the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube, so that anytime we are live with any transmission or there's any upload, you would be the first to receive the notification and be a partaker of that divine experience. America is set to experience the good word of God. America is set to experience the man of God, Pastor Obed Obinadei. America is set for another round of God's glory unleashed. And we here in Ghana, we here in every country aside America who would have an online experience can also be partakers. So you watch us on YouTube, you watch us on Facebook, you follow the man of God's social media handles for all the fresh updates. And know that God even has stretched out his hand to touch you at that point of your need. So, Papa,
yeah, so I've sent it, Stanley, it's with you right now.
Okay.
And I've sent it to you as well from the 17th to the 22nd.
Okay, Papa.
I'm ministering for Pastor W.V. Grant.
Another packed itinerary. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I see here, Sunday.
Yes.
Pastor Obed in Michigan.
Yes, I'm in Michigan. I'm preaching at Strictly Word.
Strictly Word. Okay, I think
yes,
I saw
Strictly
that
Strictly Word Ministry.
On Apostle Sharon's page.
Yes.
Pastor Obed in Michigan.
Yes.
Tentative departure to Dallas.
Yes, okay. I'm also preaching in Dallas.
Okay. Pastor Obed depart from Dallas.
Yes.
Papa, is there any race? Because this is third, fourth, and fifth.
Yes.
Okay, anyway. So you are ministering at a conference on the 6th.
Yes.
At 10 a.m.
Yes.
And then you are ministering again at that conference. I'm sure this is the Father's Conference.
Austin. That's the Father's Conference.
Okay, that's the Father's Conference.
Austin.
Because I read that you were opening the program and then closing the program.
Yes.
Okay.
For Apostle Bowens.
Apostle Bowens.
Yes.
Okay. Then on Monday, you are arriving in New York.
Yes.
There's a welcome for you on Tuesday, the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a meeting on, is it DeSoto?
Okay. Yes, there's also another mighty conference that will be happening in DeSoto.
In
so
DeSoto.
If you know anybody who is close to DeSoto,
wow,
that is happening on the 13th, on the 14th, on the 15th, on the 16th.
I'm 4 days.
4 days.
Okay.
Yes.
And these are all four-hour meetings, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. But Papa, is DeSoto, meaning DeSoto is in New York, right?
Oh. I don't know where DeSoto is.
Yeah,
I'm just on my way to DeSoto.
So all of you in DeSoto,
Yes.
Pastor Obed, okay, so on the 17th is when you are ministering
17th
at
to 22nd.
WV Grant Church.
Yes.
So 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, Papa, you are ministering at WV Grant Church.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh, and then on the 27th,
yes,
Prophet Glovis is hosting you at the Supernatural Church.
And for him, currently, we've even moved. He wants me to minister from Wednesday to Sunday.
So it's no longer just one single meeting.
Previously, it was just a Friday and a Sunday meeting. I needed to even talk to Apostle Sharon about that.
Yes.
It will be, I'm having a men's conference, I'm having a women's conference, I'm having an all-night meeting, and then a Sunday miracle service.
And then, okay, so 28th, 29th, 30th of September, you return to DeSoto.
Yes.
And, okay, then on 1st October again,
yes,
you return to Supernatural Church.
Yes.
And okay, strictly word is then there's okay, of course, there's a going home dinner for you at the Golden Corral. I'll announce when he's returning, maybe he'll tell you himself.
It's so packed, it's packed, but we are here to be of a blessing.
But aside the issue of the going home dinner and the welcome, there's nothing rest in this. And it was the same kind of schedule you had the very first time.
Previously.
But just for somebody out there, what gives you strength to do all of this?
Vows.
Okay.
I'm under vows. I have taken a vow, and I don't know about any other person's ministry. Some are called, but I was made to vow in the midst of my mandate. I was... That was how come in preaching about vows, my understanding and my perspective. I'm in ministry on vows. I'm not just doing ministry out of excitement or out of my calling. I'm under ministry vows. So the strength that comes with it is that sense of you are under vows. You see, the issue is that you can get God angry, somebody may be wondering, when you do not fulfill your vows.
Okay.
God, if a man vows and does not fulfill it, God gets angry with him.
And there are repercussions.
Yes.
I remember...
Now, the whole idea that God is angry with me is something I don't want to even think about. Yes.
I remember last week when I asked you a question concerning how that God knows all. I refer to the scripture, how that Jesus, knowing the heart of men, didn't commit himself to them. So why then? And then you emphasize that the reason for the vowing is for you, the individual.
Yes.
So it places you under a certain yoke.
Check and yoke of dedication.
Of dedication.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're saying. So it now doesn't come to because of, numerous times. I've seen you sick. I've seen you weak.
Yes.
There are times that before a crossover service, I wonder whether you would be able to cross the church over just because of what you've been engaged in before the period. And all of these things don't deter you.
No.
So beyond love, beyond the love for the work, there is the vow
dimension
to it.
Yes, in the book of Ecclesiastes. When we read the chapter 5, the verse number 4 to the verse number 6, I just want you to see what he said over there in the book of Ecclesiastes.
He says, when thou vowest a vow unto God.
So the first thing, he didn't say when you vow unto man. So there are vows you make to men, and there are vows you make to God. There are vows you make to a man in the name of the Lord. But then this is you and God alone.
Alone.
When thou vowest a vow unto God,
defer not to pay it.
There is no deferring. There is no excuse. You cannot tell God that you are under vows, that when there is a call for his work, whether at morning, afternoon, evening, or night, in sickness or in health, in pain, or without pain, you now start giving all manner of excuses. No, defer not to pay it. Why? For God does not have pleasure in fools. So hold on. Hold on. It is very foolish of you. You become a fool before God that you have made vows and you are deferring to pay it. You are making excuses on your vow. That makes you a fool before God. And God does not have pleasure in fools. And I want God to be pleasured in my life. So the first thing is that if you're a man under vows with God, you now come in a place where God can also say of you, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You see, but when you come under vows and now you begin to defer it, then the Bible says that you are a fool and God does not delight in fools. And the Bible says, pay that which thou hast vowed. Now the verse 5 is what moves my heart.
Better is it that thou shouldest not vow.
You shouldn't have vowed.
Than that thou shouldest vow and not pay.
Verse 6. Now go on.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error.
Wherefore?
Should God be angry at thy voice?
Hold on. Listen. There are some people. It is not the vow you took that God is angry. Because you didn't pay your vows. Now when you speak, God is angry at your voice. God is angry at your voice. You see, and we are looking at prayer now. So now when you pray, usually what do?
You speak.
You speak.
Your voice is heard.
Your voice is heard. But anytime God hears your voice, he's angry. He's angry at your voice.
This all-loving God.
Oh.
All-merciful God.
That's how come he told you that then better not vow. Don't come here making noise about vows and deferring not to pay it. So you see, if you are a man, it depends on the content of your vows. And so when you see a certain dedication, a ministry towards God, you may want to find out what is the content that inspires this dedication. And for me, it is that whether I'm well, whether I'm not well, whether I'm weak, whether I'm not weak, in everything, I rather prefer to do the work in weakness than to seek an appropriate time, because I never came into that vow with God seeking appropriate time to do it. I told God that even if it means that he should send me to death, he should. And I'm going to conquer death and come back. It's part of my vows. So that's what inspires the work that we do here.
Papa, I want to read the scripture. Psalm 137 verse 6 says, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And I've heard you publicly in a vow say this a number of times concerning your dedication and work of the ministry.
That's it. And for, you see, it's not just about the fact that you didn't do something and you may have to suffer the consequences of if I don't do this, may this happen. No, that's not it. I'm not afraid of the consequences of not fulfilling the vow per the terms of the vow. You see, but now I don't want God to be angry at my voice. I don't want that. If God is angry at your voice, how would you escape? So when will he be pleased with your voice? I would want my voice to echo sweetness, incense before God. I want my voice to resound in the heavens, and God says, can I hear him? Everybody hush. But I don't want the instance where God now says that your offerings are a nauseating fragrance to me. Listen, he said that wherefore God should be angry at your voice. What the vows now in Gia.
God when gets angry at your voice.
At your voice. You better not speak. And that is very powerful when it comes to prayer. The subject matter that we're dealing with. So a lot of the reasons why a couple of people have unanswered prayer, it is not because they are not praying according to knowledge. They are praying according to their knowledge of the terms of faith when it comes to prayer. But then they have unfulfilled vows that they have deferred to pay. And the moment you defer to pay your vows,
God gets angry.
God gets angry at you. So there are two things that happen to you when you defer to pay your vows. Number one, you make the altar you are connected to impotent.
So you see, possibly somebody out there thinking that
God is not minding me, God is not minding me, where is my God? God, where is my God? And probably it may be that you have made a vow that you deferred to pay. What's and so, and then the annoying thing too is that then you come say, where is my God? And people are asking me, where is my God? God, you are forsaking me. God is already angry at your voice.
And then you are saying these things to us. I got him them all.
It's like you are adding pain to injury. You know. So vows are sacred. Vows are sensitive. Vows are very powerful. You see, when you bring a pure offering, and we studied that last week, when you bring in a pure offering, then your altar is potent. But you do not vow to God, you didn't pay, then now you now say that the altar, you now see the altar as contemptible. It's terrible. So vows, now look at something. The moment Jonah was in the belly of the fish in Jonah chapter 2, the word of God says he prayed a long prayer. Nothing happened. You can go and read Jonah chapter 2 from the verse 1 downwards. Read and see something.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said,
now watch it. Look at the timing.
Okay.
He cried.
I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord.
So there are many people who are crying. They are in affliction. They are crying unto the Lord.
And he heard me.
God heard him.
Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice.
So now, when he was crying, God heard him. But what happened?
For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me.
Four.
Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple.
Five.
The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head.
Six.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
Seven.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple.
Eight.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
Nine.
But I will sacrifice unto thee.
Now watch
this. The voice of thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
I will pay that I have vowed.
Uh-huh.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Ten.
And the Lord speak.
And what, the Lord heard you, but the Lord didn't speak. It is not enough for God to hear you. It is enough for God to speak
concerning
on the matter that you are placing before him. So at what point in time did God speak to the fish?
After he said you
will pay. After he said you will pay his vows. Well. So God is hearing you and God is just watching you. Oh, thou that hearest prayer. It's different from thou that takest action on the need of prayer. Vows are powerful. So he's been saying a lot of things in Jonah chapter 2, the verse 1, all the way. It is up until verse 9 that now he brought in the vow dimension, the dimension of vows. Instantly, and the Lord speak to the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God is hearing you, but the situation is not hearing God. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
God is hearing you, but your situation, your affliction is not hearing God.
Because he's not speaking.
Because God is not speaking concerning your affliction. God is hearing you. You are crying. You see, but your situation is not hearing God.
Oh, mercy, Lord.
The Bible says that God said, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I am come down. You see, God can see the affliction. And what this? Listen to me. The nation of Israel had been in affliction for 430 years.
Yes.
So at what point in time did God see the affliction?
Seen it long ago.
From the beginning of the affliction, God saw it.
He came down after
430 years. Now ask yourself, what made him come down? What made God to come down? And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. God knows all that you're going through. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And to bring them up out of the land unto a good land. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I love the next verse. Verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen oppression. Wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. 10.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh.
Hold on. Who is coming down?
Moses was the one.
Now, but who originally said, I'm coming?
God said he was coming now.
But why is Moses the one to put? God comes down in vessels.
Mm.
God said, I have seen the affliction of my people. Mm. I've heard their cry. Mm. I know their sorrows. And I am come down. How will God come down?
In the vessel.
In Moses. Vessels that he sends to us. In vessels. But in the end, God can see your cry. He can see all the afflictions. But nothing happens. Because he's not come down. And how does this happen? Vows. Vows. Moses, the power of vows.
Must have been a man of vows.
Yes. Yes. The Bible actually says that when his mother saw that he was a proper child, the mother vowed that she was not going to allow baby Moses to become like the
like
others.
The others.
The power of vows. It's so important. Listen to me. Try vows. You have been crying, and I've cried, and I've been everywhere, and I've not seen anything, and there is nothing I've been told to do that I've not done. Where is your vow? Watch the picture of Jonah. You have heard my cry. My cry has come to your ears, but nothing is moving. Listen, if you have the opportunity to put this on your status, write this. God has heard your cry, but has your problem heard God? God has seen your situation, but has your situation heard God? God has heard you, but has your situation heard God? And how will you get God to speak
to the situation
under vows? Under vows. And God spoke to the fish all the while.
And he was talking.
He said, and I've looked towards your holy temple. And I'm, God is still listening. Where are your vows? And the Lord spoke unto the fish. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You are in a certain situation that looks like a graveyard. As if you have been buried in the belly of a fish. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving.
I will pay,
that I have vowed.
Salvation
is of the Lord. Let's read that in the Message Bible, Jonah chapter 2, the verse number 9.
But I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving. And I'll do what I promised I'll do. Salvation belongs to God.
Then verse 10.
Then God spoke to the fish. And it vomited up Jonah.
Instantly.
On the seashore.
Then God spoke to the fish. The power of vows in prayer. It was at this point in time that God spoke to the fish. And remember, I told you before, that when we say a vow, we're talking about that which you have prepared. Touching the heart of your king. It is not saying, I vow that I will give you 100 Ghana cedis. I vow I'll give you 5 Ghana. No. Something that will touch the heart of the king. Now watch here. In the book of Job, the chapter 22, we see another dimension of vows. From the verse 27 to the verse 30.
He says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee.
Watch this.
And thou...
Every time, remember that when you pray, God hears you.
Therefore, we know that he heareth us.
This is our confidence. That when we put our petitions before him, he heareth us. But then, when God has heard you, has he spoken about that situation? Thou shalt make your prayer unto him. And he shall hear you, that one, and you will pay your vows. God has heard you, but there is no action in the air until your vows are now at work. Now look at verse 28. We're going to verse 30.
Thou shalt also decree a thing.
Hold on. Listen. There is a big difference between praying for God to hear you and commanding your situation to change. Hear me. When God hears you, now, your voice, the moment your vows come in, now become the tool by which God uses to speak to the situation. Because you have now come into the place of vows. So before you decree a thing, you have brought in your petition. They are different from the decrees of people. You need to understand that spiritual activity is born out of understanding. And when you use understanding to carry out spiritual activity, testimonies are inevitable.
Papa, vows. Interesting discussion on people and vows. And someone just brought in a quick question when you spoke about Moses. I said Moses must have been a man of vows. When God said he was coming down, and then we read in the verse seeing that Moses was actually the vessel
by which God was coming down.
And you mentioned how that, relating to what scripture said, that Moses, his mom, seeing that he was a proper child, decided that she was not going to make him die like that Egyptian children. So a question came in asking how you will know that your child is proper.
How would you know that your child
is? I'm probably taking you to a Sun Tzu-Wunsem discussion, but
anyway, even though we are talking about vows, I'll just take 2 minutes answer that question. Now, to tackle the matter of the proper nature of Moses, I would look at it from the biblical point of view, and then I'll bring you what the sages have to say concerning Moses.
Okay.
Now, by the scriptures. When the Bible says that a person is a proper child, the word there is astios, which means that that child is urban, that child is cultured. Not cultured by somebody, but then cultured by the character traits he puts forth.
Okay.
Now, for instance, I would cite my own daughter. When Phoebe was growing up as a baby, anytime she was to cry, she would cover her mouth and cover her eyes. That nature in her is the reason why we called her Rabba. Not because she was called a Rabba. She put forth a certain character trait.
As a baby.
That when she's crying, she covers herself and covers her mouth. She doesn't want anybody to see her crying. Now, these are all traits that make you know that your child is proper. Number two, there are special abilities that a child will put forth that makes the child go out of range. For instance, every child is supposed to, number one, crawl, sit, crawl, and walk. Then all of a sudden, you have this baby, one day you come and the baby is walking.
It's walking.
It's a proper child.
Doesn't go through the milestone
developmental stages. Then you are dealing with a proper child. Number three. Every child that is able to recognize food around 1 month, 2 months, actual food, when you are eating, then the child is following your mouth. Then you put the food. Then the moment you give to the child, then the child starts eating.
Proper child.
Wow.
It's different. Some people start eating banku small at 1 month.
1 month. It's not because their parents want to. If they don't give them, they'll cry for it. They don't want their breast milk again. They want to go, we mean now. That is a proper child. The next one. Any child that shows ominous signs that are divinational is a proper child. For instance, a child may cry instantly. And something is going to happen in hours. And we will all be able to tie to the cry of that child. A typical thing happened at the miracle line just this Sunday into Monday. I was praying for somebody. And when I finished, I said, it's done. Then a little baby cried from the crowd, mm-hmm. Hallelujah! Mm-hmm. And that was the only hallelujah he said. And I said, that little child appended the proof that you've been healed. That was a proper child. Children that show certain ominous signs, and if I say ominous, I don't only mean negative, mm-hmm. but they are omens, mm-hmm. okay, that depicts the work mm-hmm. of God mm-hmm. or depicts a certain supernatural act. It is known, and please, my reference, and please hear me well, the Bible says that if all the things that Jesus said mm-hmm. and did were to have been written, all the books of the universe couldn't contain it. So whenever we have any book testifying of one of the things that Jesus did, we shouldn't argue about it. When you read the Quran, it is said that Jesus Christ mm-hmm. at birth mm-hmm. spoke in human language. Mm. That is a proper child. No two ways about it. For instance, at age 12, what special trait was Jesus exhibiting?
Was speaking with masters of the
masters
law.
Of the law.
And they were bewildered.
Proper child. Abufrebu okasa. Ubeka se akukurebi na abeviase. Proper child. And the counsel of that child is more than the counsel of the aged. So for you to understand what we are saying, let us go to the book of Hebrews, the chapter 11, and let us read what he said over there in the verse 23. And let us look at it in the easy English. Read for me.
Hebrews 11, 23.
Yes.
Let me read King James first. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months mm-hmm. of his parents because mm-hmm. they saw he was a proper child.
Good.
And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
Good.
Easy English.
Yes. Easy English says what? Mm-hmm.
Moses' parents believed God.
Yes.
So when Moses was born, they hid him for 3 months. Uh-huh. They saw that he was a very special child.
That's it. We are not talking about special children because they are suffering Down syndrome, ADHD, whatever.
ADHD.
There's autism. Now, we also call those children special children. That is on the negative side. But then there is a certain trait a child exhibits.
Very special.
Very special. Mm. Assuming you have a child who has not gone to school, nobody has taught that child anything, and the child is a genius. That is a special child. So there are traits, there are things that you will see concerning children. For instance, when I was a child, the Lord says, I should shut up.
I was just going to talk about something. He walked. When he came out, he got up and started walking. That is why when you are crippled, they are in a wheelchair, we will lift you up. We were walking when we were born.
Don't mind me. If he's not serious. I was just going to talk about something my mom told me, but the Lord says I should shut up concerning my childhood. So now let's go to Moses.
Okay.
Why that expression? It is said and it is known that when Moses was born, from his waist up, he was exuding light, and his waist down was not. And that the experience that the nation of Israel saw when he entered the mount was a far concentrated form that his parents saw when he was born. And that is why the expression Moses was a proper child. So watch this. When Moses got down off the mountain, his face was transfigured. And the Bible says he himself course not. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any recognition. He had no recognition. He didn't know that his face was beaming with light. Mm. But then it was like business as usual. Mm. But everybody around him could see, and they could not as so much watch his face. And they had to beg him to cover his face, to veil his face. So Moses, for all his life, was veiled. Like, how do they call it?
Anas.
He was veiled. And nobody could watch his face.
Apart from Kennedy in Japan. Who watches the watcher?
If you be serious. So, what the sages say is that what the nation of Israel could not behold, that was a far concentrated form. This was on his face. Mm. But then with Moses at birth, it was from his loins upwards. So, there are signs. For instance, certain children come, and about the time you open their hands, you will see a bright stone. Mm. Another situation, which I watched myself, and I saw the Bible. Mm. A child was born, coming out of his mother's womb, carrying a King James Bible. How did the King James Bible enter the mother's womb? Where did the child get the Bible from? Hmm. There is a situation that I just watched about a week ago in Kenya. Hmm. A little girl that heals madness, epilepsy, and congenital and incurable diseases, praying over water. And do you know what? The little child said, and these are things that we have to be very careful about. The little child said, she is the mother of Jesus. I won't say more than that. That's what the little child said. She is the mother of Jesus. Wow. That is what the child said. And now, if you don't believe it, how can a little child say this and now be healing like nobody's business?
She's the mother of Jesus.
And you know what? The little child gave instructions that they were supposed to undertake a journey to a certain far place for her to go and sit on a certain mountain to wait on God. And when they are returning, they'll bring a stone from that place. They didn't know what it was up to. When they went, the child directed to a place nobody knew. Wow. They walked the child to that mountain, and the parents didn't know that there was something like that there. I'll show you the videos when we are done. Sat on the mountain, waited on God, prayed, and showed a stone. And when they were coming, she said, this will be the foundation of the temple that they are going to build as a church that she's going to be pastoring. You should see the little girl laying hands on people. She's lifted by the dad on the shoulder. And she doesn't pray long prayers. She just touch you and say, in Jesus' name. And then you get well. And I saw it with my very eyes. Videos that had been captured of the little girl praying for mad people, praying for the sick. I mean, situations that were hopelessly hopeless. And this little girl, that girl should be about 3 years. And she said she's Mary. These are things that certain sects and denominations in Christian folds cannot take. And it's understandable. I've said always, when it comes to the issues of the womb and childbirth and the incarnation of spirits, there are sections in the body of Christ, they can't take it. And Jesus actually said that there are people who cannot take this. And it is for them to whom it has been given. So there's no argument about that. It's not for everybody to receive. But for me, there's one thing that Jesus said. He said, if you don't believe me for the very work's sake. So it is not always about the doctrination of a person. If the person is not blaspheming the holy name of the Lord and overthrowing the foundation of salvation, and somebody is saying something beyond your indoctrination, just say you don't understand. But then begin to say that the works are evident that God is with him. That is what Nicodemus did. He said that no man can do this unless God be with him. So the question is God with a person? Can you see the action of God in display in the works that are made manifest by the person? And that is the reason why I love and respect this Nigerian bishop. I don't know whether to mention his name or not. Another man of God, the senior prophet TB Joshua, his case was put before. He said, hey, listen, I don't understand his ways. But all I see is that people are getting healed and free. And I know that by that witness, God is at work. But I don't understand his ways and his teachings. That I don't understand. And this is a mighty bishop. Okay, just to mention his name. Bishop David Oyedepo says he does not understand the ways of the senior prophet TB Joshua. He cannot say anything beyond that. But he can see the signs and the wonders showing up in his ministry. So it's just as simple as that. Who is a proper child? And that is the same way there are. Okay, drop that. So who is a proper child? These are signs that are evidence of children that are special children.
Gabriel,
so I think that the person has been well
very
answered.
Very well answered. Gabriel J brings in a witness. He says, my first son was born with teeth. A proper child. The King Gabi. The Gigabi, so I want to interpret it in another way.
Let me explain. If your child is born with teeth, it's likely your wife was taking too much calcium foods.
Okay.
Yes. In high doses. You have not destroyed the food. No, let's not go beyond bounds. Let's not go beyond bounds. And now number two, let me show you something. Fifi, listen.
Papa.
If the child keeps that milk teeth for life, then it's a proper child. Yes. If that milk teeth is kept for life, that's no never loses the milk teeth, then that is a proper child. Yes. So I've given you it is likely that your wife was taking too much calcium foods or too much calcium tablets. Either than that, then we have to wait. Did your child lose that teeth? If your child never lost that teeth and is still having that teeth till his hoary hair's age, then that makes your child a very proper child.
I'm laughing because of someone's comment on this. He says, he's a calciumic child. Kwame Bass. Papa, Exodus 34:29, the Moses experience we're talking about. He says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them.
Yes. So,
proper child.
Others carry this from childhood
all the way.
And you begin to see that no, this one is different. You see, there is a big difference between a prophesied child, a miracle baby, a proper child, and a foolish child. All of these things are in the scriptures.
Not come to the place of birth.
Yes. Anybody, if you hear that you were a breach, it means that as a child you were a fool. Oh, it's true. It's just as simple as that. If you were a breach, it means that as a baby, you were a fool.
You have grown wise now.
Yes, you've grown wise.
As a baby.
Yes, as a baby.
It's just a description. Yes. That's how the Bible
says. That's what the Bible says. It says that he does not come to the place of birth. When it is time to travel. Okay, let's show that before we close so that people don't get offended. He's an unwise child. Yes. That's an unwise child. He's an unwise child. And there are reasons for that.
So, Hosea 13:13.
Yes.
The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children.
Amplified Bible. Hosea 13:13. amplified.
The pains of childbirth come on him.
Uh-huh.
But he's not a wise son.
Uh-huh.
For it is not the time to delay his chance at a new birth.
Uh-huh.
As the womb opens.
But
he ignores the opportunity to change.
You see it. He's delaying.
Mm.
So when it is time, for it is not the time to delay his chance at a new birth as the womb opens. So there are children, the womb opens,
but they are delayed.
And the wisdom to come through the womb is not there, it's withheld. And there are many things that causes that. You see, we're not just trying to hurt the feelings of people. But there are spiritual explanations are there for that thing. For which reason that happens to a baby. You see, So he is, the pains of childbirth come on him, but he's not a wise son. And this is what happens. There is transition from the womb, okay, to coming out. There's a transition. When a child is being born, the reason why they come out crying is because that pain is like death pains coming through that tunnel.
So like a realm, one realm to the another.
To another realm. It's like death pains when that transition comes. And the reason why children come to the place of birth is that most of the time we think that it is a mother alone who is in labor. No. The labor is happening with pains far exceeding that of the mother in the baby in the womb. Your mom, the pain of labor, the labor pains that a woman goes through, it is like seven times that pain
that the child goes
that through. A child goes through.
Wow.
And that is how come the child comes out crying. It's not easy.
Wow.
So he says the pains of childbirth come on him, not on her. But he is not. So why is that you are going through pain and you are delaying? You are in pain and yet you are seated there.
Come out and escape the pain.
You see. So these are the reasons why. Please, on the issues of the womb that we started sharing at the conference, there is still so much more to talk about. In as much as I said that I had very little, we still have so much to talk about on the matters of the womb. The place, remember we spoke about the interaction of the four archangels when it comes to the womb and all of that, but we couldn't get the time to talk about them and all of that. So we're talking about vows, but I think it's related because in the book of Proverbs, he speaks about the son of my vows. Probably next week, we should look at that. Somebody is pregnant and somebody has taken seed. What will you do with vows in prayer concerning that child? And the power of vows concerning babies in the womb to dictate the path of life that they should go. Yeah.
This, the sequel we are having to the womb message is interesting because the labor experience, because it's said that
there's no pain like that pain.
There's no pain like that pain. And now to know that
it's like seven times intensified in the womb for the child.
And every one of us went through it.
Yes. As long as you were born through that canal, that birth canal.
And cried.
And cried. It's no easy thing. It's no easy thing. That is how come. If you go through CS, with that also, there is a pain. But it is not like you being squeezed through the birth canal. So everybody goes, unless your mom didn't go through any kind of labor pain or whatsoever. But if there was that movement of pain that showed that it is time for you to be born and that this is the time for the childbirth, then the baby starts going through that kind of pain. Yes. The moment the plug is removed and the pain begins for the baby.
You see, sometimes about some of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they speak of pain.
Yes.
And then they relate it to the... Yes, like as in, pains have come upon him as the pangs of a woman. And this explanation
is seven times more in the womb for a baby. It's terrible. Hey, it's terrible. You don't even want to think about it.
Wow.
And when Jesus was talking about the days of the tribulation, he relates it to a woman in travail. And this travail for the baby in the womb is terrible. Seven times for a child coming into the world. That transition is not easy. So it's a momentary kind of death.
Death.
Ushering you into life. all too soon.
Papa's health question has taken over there.
We will keep talking about the womb, many weeks and days and months to come. And I believe that God will still unravel to us depths beyond which we've ever known. And that is what makes women special.
A wavering heart of love that she had for him throughout childbirth, even when he was born. I'm not the one saying it. Daddy has made us know how stubborn he was when he was growing up. So for his mom, still making sure that she exercised that role of love as a mother, ensuring that we have this gift as we have today. He's grateful. And all he's saying is that the Lord will bless him and he's going to build a house that she and him have never seen before for her. God bless you, Mama Marian. We are all very grateful for giving us Pastor Obed.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, it's time to take your offering. Please send in your offertory to the numbers on the screen and make sure that you are seeding into this moment the words that you have heard, the revelation that has come to you, the power experience that you are experiencing right now, wherever you are. Be a part of those that make this breakthrough morning devotion take. Send in your offering right now, and I would pray a blessing on your head. Just send in that offering, and I would pray a blessing on your head. And now I stretch forth my hand and I pray that as you send in your offering, receive blessings.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare that your seed sown, you will reap a harvest.
In Jesus'
by
name.
The mighty hand of God.
In Jesus' name.
Now may God bless you and favor you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening. We trust that you've been blessed with truths for life. Be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Obed Obinadey podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remain blessed. Shalom.